July, the biggest fall in nearly 3 years. It was all led by a drop in the volatile category of civilian aircraft. A measure of future business investment, however, advanced by 0.4%. More details on all these stories can be found at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. Carl's on assignment, at least for the first portion of the show. Good morning. My name is Linda Bott. And with me this morning is Eric Woodstrom, who is the president of the Northern Division of Five Star Bank. Good morning.
Good morning, Linda.
My buddy. So, yeah, we're going to talk politics, and we're going to talk about, you know, things that are affecting the city. And later on, we have a surprise. Just a really good guest that's coming in at 8 o'clock. But let's first go to the weather. It's 66 degrees. Today it's going to be hot with our highs near 100. Clear tonight with lows of 67. Saturday calls for 105.
Oof.
And Sunday 106. Let's talk about, well, gosh, we just want to really care about how the weekend weather is, right? Monday calls for a 106 as well, Tuesday 105, Wednesday 104, and Thursday 104. So, you know, we're in that, still in that hot season.
Hopefully the last stretch of the 100-plus.
Right, end of August. I know that I've got a little houseboat trip. We've got a houseboat trip planned with Holiday Harbor, it's September 18th. So we're going to be curious to see what happens around that time. Anyway, the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts. These are great people. We love our sponsors. Give them a call at 365-3793. What do you think there?
I think we're in for a hot weekend. Let's keep cool and enjoy it as the summer winds down.
And who do we have with us in the studio this morning?
Well, I think we... Is it... What's his name?
His name is Raider.
It's Raider. All right, we've got Raider.
Our pet of the week from Haven U, Maine, that comes in every Friday morning with Amy.
Good morning.
Yeah, and you get to make the selections, too.
I do, yeah.
So Raider hits your radar.
Yes.
Because?
well, he is a longer-term resident of ours.
Okay.
And the last two that I've brought on the news, that you know, that I've taken on the news and on the radio with me, that are our longer-term dogs, have actually gotten adopted in the last 2 weeks. So, instead of taking ones that maybe everybody is going to want to fall in love with right on, you know, first sight, I'm going to take ones that need that extra push, because Raider here has what I call black pit syndrome. So he is a black pit bull. They get overlooked really easily in shelters. They're overlooked dogs,
okay.
Just like black cats.
Just the perception
about him. Just the perception about not only that he's a pit bull, but he's black, so there's nothing really fancy about him,
yeah.
Which I disagree
but he
with.
He is cute.
He's a pity mix.
Yes, he is a pity mix, and he's got really soft fur, too.
And he's long. So. Isn't he longer
yeah.
for a pit bull?
He is,
I mean,
yeah.
He's got the, you know, his hair, you can tell just from the head.
Yeah, he's got big doe eyes, too.
Yeah, but he's got a little touch of white, like he's dipped
yeah.
his paws in paint.
Yeah, he's got some on his chest as well, so
right.
he's not solid black, but... you know, they do get overlooked because if there's four more in the shelter, you know, they
right.
all kind of start blending in with each other.
He's in really good shape.
He
looks
he's a
like
fun.
A beautiful coat.
He's very
smart.
Athletic.
Yes.
So he is one of our camp dogs, one of the remaining camp dogs to yet be adopted. So his adoption fee is only $25, which is awesome. He is also in a very intense training that they do once a week with him called Canine Good Citizen Training. It's one of the programs that Haven just... took upon, like, to do with the dogs that are longer term, to get them out and, like, okay, well, maybe they need extra training for them to snag the eye of an adopter. So that's the time where they get that extra training. The dog I had on 2 weeks ago that was here for 319
mm-hmm.
days, that's how long she was there before she got adopted. She was also in that canine good citizen training. And that helped her overcome some issues she had or, you know, help her become more, I don't really know the word for that. More presentable, maybe, to an adopter when they know that she knows how to sit, she knows how to shake, she knows how to lay down, she knows her basic manners, and he's the exact same.
So he comes a little pre-trained.
Exactly, yeah.
That's wonderful.
So he knows how to sit, shake, lay down.
Yep.
When we came in here, he's really excited to meet new people. He really loves people. Takes him, you know, he just wants to jump in your lap and be your best friend in the whole world and kiss your face. And you know, that's a lot for some people, but not all dogs are perfect. And no one's, he's not just going to come up to you like a perfect gentleman and shake your hand. He's a dog, so he's going to get excited. And that's okay. But this is the other side of it, is that I told him, Raider, lay down. And there
he's in
the
studio right now, and many of you who've been to our station know he's laying down. He's very, you know, came in just like you see this with dogs. They get all excited.
They
want to see you, right?
Yep.
And now he's calm because he knows his surroundings.
Yeah, well, he sniffed you guys all, and that's your old news now. So, so he's going to take a nap. That's okay.
I never want to be old news. Amy, thank you so much, and tell us a little bit again the hours, Haven Humane. If you adopt this dog, you get it's $25, but all the shots, all the chips, the he's been fixed, all of it.
He's got everything done already, and he comes with a free bag of food, so he's already microchip neutered, health checked, has all of his vaccines, he's completely up to date with his vaccines, all of that fun stuff. And this is actually the last week of our passport to adoption. That ends Thursday the 31st. So if you are looking more into a kitty, which is a good time right now to get kitties because they're all over the place, but they're only $10 to adopt, and they come with the exact same thing, health checked, microchipped, you know, spayed or neutered. So definitely if you're looking for a feline friend, maybe not of the canine kind, you are still in luck at Haven because it's only $10 to adopt.
And people have property, like this is a great dog that, you know, I knew you were showing me a video earlier of your dog that liked to swim and catch balls.
Oh, this dog loves to swim, by
there
the
you
way.
Go.
He loves to swim.
So there you go. Hey. Check it out at Haven Humane. Amy, thank you so much for bringing us again the Pet of the Week, Raider.
Yes.
Go ask for Raider. Say, oh, look, it turned around like, what?
Yeah, he knows his name.
He knows.
Yes, he knows his name.
And you're open this weekend?
Yes, we are. We're open on Saturday from 11 to 5.
Okay. There you go. So
thank
something
you.
To do. Let's go. Let's go down to Haven and talk to Raider.
Yeah. Now I feel bad because I have to make him get up. He looks That's really right. comfortable.
He's lying.
He's like, okay, I'm here.
He laid he's all like, the, okay, I've got.
He laid all the way down just now.
That's wonderful.
Good boy. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Amy.
Well, so what's on your agenda, and what are you looking forward to? What happened for you this week? Let's talk about that, because I've got a couple things I'd like to cover. We've got about 2 or 3 minutes before we take our break. What do you want to talk about this morning?
Well, let's see. What I think that, well, we've got some guests coming up, so we'll have some topics there. We can talk a little bit about business and what's going on in the economic development front in Redding and Shasta County. We can answer questions, you know, banking questions. If people have questions, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, interest rates, even though there's been pressure and the Fed has raised short-term rates, mid and long-term rates remain low. And I think that's a function of the market, and the market saying that the U.S. economy is a good place to put your money. It keeps the treasury rates low, which passes on to borrowers for mid- and long-term money. So
right.
We can talk about a little bit about
that
business.
That sounds great. Let's talk about that when we get back. Before we took a break, talk about, I think Carl may have mentioned this yesterday, about our friend who came in with a 4-month-old baby.
Oh, goodness.
And that was his grandchild he's raising because his son is a heroin addict. And so anyway, why he came in, I just have to do a shout out. And I'm sorry the name is not in front of me, but this was just one of the beautiful things about living in Redding.
Yes.
Small town community, the heart of the people.
The heart of the people and how they take care of.
And why we want
to
stay.
Yes.
And this is why. Why are you staying in Redding? What's in Redding? Well, you know, yesterday I had lunch with two very special ladies. We talked about the community because they both are transplants here. One's been 2 years, one's been almost 20. And it's just because we love the community.
Yeah.
And so anyway, a shout out to this guy. When do you, in your life, have you ever gotten a parking ticket where the parking meter person comes back and says, I'm going to mark it off. That's all right. Ever in your life?
No.
Ever?
No, never.
Okay. You and I are the same age.
Right.
We've been driving a long time.
It doesn't happen. They don't say, you know, you get a free pass today.
No, but this guy did it. He led Gordon, walked in to show his grandbaby he's raising.
Boy. Yeah.
You know, he and Debbie decided that's it. We're going to take on this baby. You know, that's like, you know, the rest of your life, that's forever.
Yeah, that's a commitment.
So he's holding this 4-month baby, and he didn't probably even think about the meter. and when do the meters come and go? They come and go. Well, anyway, so this guy, Carl, ran out and said, hey, I mean, my friend just came, popped in and showed us a new baby. And the guy walked around and goes, you know, where's he parked? Back over there. Went over there and said, are you going to get in trouble for this?
Oh, my goodness.
He goes, you know. So, yeah. So, I just, that's an indication.
Yep. That's
not that'll ever happen again, but it still showed me human.
But it still does. We tend to focus on, because it's so visible, the problems and the crime and the different things like that. And, you know, it's always been here. Is it worse? Probably. But it's also much more visible. But there's also so many really good things that happen and good people. And like you said, a few things like that happen in a day or in a week. And we also live in just a tremendously giving community. It's amazing how much time, effort, and money is put out in this community to help others, whether it's help those that can't help themselves, whether it's helping a specific cause, Haven Humane, a lot of different things. And it's just a tremendously giving community. So we are fortunate to be here. You know, we will probably talk later on about some of the warts that that are visible. But
well, let's talk about that when we get back. Yep. And I wanted to just say that I think I need to cover my sleep number. Setting last night was 50, and I changed it around. But we bartended the other night for celebrity bartending at the VFW, which was a blast, by the way. It was such an honor for me. I met so many people who've served our country. Great, you know, some of these guys, this is what they do. They're retired, their wives have passed away, and they're old-timers that decide to come and have a cocktail and talk. And I just, filled my heart with such great joy. Thank you for our outpouring, and you too, Eric, for coming. And no, buying tickets and being there. And so anyway, I was able to get a good night's sleep when I came home, because, boy, I'll tell you, I was standing on heels for 4 hours. That was like, not 20 anymore. So my sleep number setting was 50. I'm sure Carl's was in his regular 55. And so go head down to your sleep number store that's at the Target Shopping Center. We'll be right back. KCNR 1460.
Now is the perfect time to hit the road with your brand new Coleman travel trailer. Play our Happy Camper Swipe to Win promotion at Wind River Resort and Casino. Win free slot play, prizes, or a Coleman travel trailer. It's simple. Spin the wheels on any slot machine or swipe your free River Club card daily. Every 200 points gets you an entry. Triple entries on Mondays and Tuesdays. Plus, we always have new games just waiting to hit the jackpot. Earn entries all month long to increase your chances to win a brand new travel trailer from Camping World of Redding. This pull trailer is loaded to the brim with fun amenities, microwave, plenty of sleeping room, and much more. And you won't need extended mirrors to see while you're towing, or a big heavy hitch to tow it with. Drawings every Thursday at 8 p.m. Final drawing Thursday, August 31st, where you could win a Coleman travel trailer. Plus an assortment of camping accessories. Remember, more games, more ways to win, more fun at Wind River Resort and Casino. Download the Wind River app on Google Play or the Apple Store. Camping and winning are both better at the river.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all, but not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit them on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddle boards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
This is our era.
Yes, it is.
You know what? Welcome back to our show here at KCNR 1460 on this beautiful Friday morning. This is, well, it's Carl and Linda Bott, but today it's Eric Woodstrom, who is the producer. He is the producer, but he really, you are the producer if you're going to look at it that way. The president.
The band leader.
Yeah, you're the band leader for Five Star Bank. And you know what? I just want to do a little sidebar here. Anyway, kind of talk about Eric. And the other day, I had a good friend that took me in the car, and I took her in the car. But we went down to the Golden One new center in Sacramento.
Sure. Oh yes.
And went to go see Lady Gaga.
Yes.
And I was telling her about you and Buzz Oates and who Buzz Oates was. And did she had ever heard of Buzz Oates? And then I was telling her about my Roger Fong. I told her the whole story. Now, whether she followed it, I mean, because, you know,
you had some car time.
Yeah, we had some car time, and there's always like five fingers, and then they all come, they're all on hand, but you got to follow the five finger punch. No wonder I can see the band called Five Finger Punch. But anyways, we're talking about Buzz Oates and how he developed. I said, my God, you know, back in our day, I remember he developed most of Sacramento at that point.
Right.
And you and I are from the era. We're in the 70s. Right. We were 70 high school kids.
Yes.
Both went to Rio Americano in Sacramento. And so then you got into banking.
Yes, I did.
And so I'm just curious. There's a lot of things that are going to be attached to this question. In the Sacramento days, when you've seen how it's developed, now it's gone into turbo mode.
Yes, it has gone into turbo mode. You know, I can remember the days of driving down through downtown Sacramento with my father in this, you know, in the 70s when old Sacramento first opened up. There was really nothing between Sacramento State in old Sacramento. You drove down J Street or any of the letters, and it was just quiet, worn out neighborhoods, worn out business. It was originally built in the teens and 20s, but then things moved to the suburbs, like a lot of cities do. And then to go back there to watch what happened in the 80s, the transformation, and a little bit in the 80s, but in the 90s, and really accelerate in the last 10 or 15 years, downtown, midtown, the vibrancy downtown, you know, people wanting to move back into a much more urban environment, and capped off by the Golden One Center that opened a year and a half ago, and it's just spectacular. It's really a catalyst for a lot of activities, a lot of development, kind of rejuvenation of a downtown core that was dead. It was truly dead.
That was a mall. You had Macy's.
Yes.
And which is still there.
It's still there.
Isn't that weird that they kept Macy's, but then the rest of the...
is gone.
Which I can't remember. Yeah. I know that one time they used to have a
Saks
or something.
Yeah, there was a Saks and a Nordstrom's and an I Magnum's.
Right.
And all those kind of historic ones. And then a lot of the smaller, national stores. But it all went away. You know, In the 70s, the K Street Mall was going to be rejuvenated into something similar to up here in the 60s when the mall was closed on Market Street, you know, in the 60s. And it took off for a little bit, but it never really took off. I think that, the people both moved to the suburbs, similar to here, and then, you know, large regional malls came in, Mount Shasta Mall, Arden Fair down there, which, in fact, were owned by the same families.
Really?
Up until just recently. The Mount Shasta Mall 3 or 4 years ago was sold by the family that had owned it for 30, 35 years, but they were out of the Sacramento area.
Really?
Yeah, the Friedmans.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so...
oh, my gosh. I think they used to own the slip and slide that was off Arden Way. Am I right?
Probably, yes, yes. But,
oh my God.
You know, there's been a lot of energy, money, sweat, and tears poured into kind of rejuvenating. A lot of like what we are going through here in Redding with what's happening with downtown, the energy. There's going to be, you know, nobody really knows what the first catalyst is to make things happen, but there's a lot of effort, both by, you know, private money first has to want to do it, and it has to make sense as an investment. And then you need the support of local, the city, for infrastructure and permitting, and you need the support of the people. And I think if a good product gets put out, which some of the plans that are being developed for downtown, some that are visible and have hit the paper, and some that are, you know, still in on the sheet of paper and in the development stage, that you know, I think that over a fairly short period of time, we're going to see some dramatic change downtown.
I agree with that too, and I will share with you, if I didn't the other night, that I attended when I got back from the Lady Gaga concert. Mm-hmm. Mr. MacArthur invited me to attend this meeting that I was not aware of, and I said to every person that I got up in front of the crowd and said, you know, we have a downtown radio
station. Right.
That is open for all the voices. We invite everybody. We are downtown. We want to be part of the downtown revitalization. It's so important to have the heart of the city.
Yes.
And so anyway, there were about 15 people or maybe more in this room, Downtown Revitalization Committee, and or association or whatever it was.
Right.
So you had Viva Downtown, and you had the guy that was running a bit, and then you had a lot of nonprofits that were there. You had Riverfront, Caskey, all these downtown I am for profit, but at the same time, we do a lot of stuff for nonprofit. So
right.
I don't know where that puts us, but, you know, not everything's for profit here.
Right.
You know,
things we do because it's right.
Because we do it,
yep.
Because it's right.
Right.
So I really got the feeling after this meeting and the young
and the energy,
progressive energy in, yep, that room, that in the next 5 years, hold on,
right,
because you are going to see. Now, yes, we're going to have to go through some growing pains and construction.
It's not all going to be. You know, there's going to be bumps.
There's
always
going to be bumps.
But
there will be change.
Yes, there will be change. It has to have change. The status quo isn't acceptable.
Well, when we were talking about downtown Sacramento, that downtown where the Railroad Museum is, and that was Wino City.
Right.
I mean, that's where the bums hung.
That's where the bums hung. Yeah.
And now, you know, of course, that's down. That is old SAC. That's a whole different thing than the revitalization. So what they're going to do here is we will have that urban development feel that's going to be implemented downtown, where we can actually walk from where we are now on beautifully paved streets,
sidewalks,
where there's bikes
safe,
and benches, and people are living in their business above their businesses. My girlfriend, who lived in Huntington Harbor, sold her home.
Mm-hmm.
That was she had a condo, a condo in the Huntington Harbor area. Sold it and is now doing an urban living in Costa Mesa. So they've taken an urban development.
Made a change.
She can do her store on the bottom and live on top. And that's what people are doing.
Right. I think that, and as we get more, you know, restaurants and services downtown, it'll draw people in. And then whether it's the K2 development that's planned or other developments that are, you know, on the drawing board, one or two of them will be enough to begin the change. And then we'll not only see capital and investment downtown, we'll also see the neighborhoods, the garden track, which is really come around in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, and we'll see other neighborhoods around downtown begin to feel the, you know, a positive effect from what's happening down here.
Well, we will take your calls this morning if you want to weigh in on some thoughts about Oh, what do you think is happening with the downtown area, as well as do you have a hope for it? And Eric is here. Of course, he's the president of Five Star Bank. You know, we're going to be talking money and development and what's happening with the market, that kind of thing, when we come back from where he sits and sees people who are investing, not investing. What does that landscape look like? So we're going to take a break, and we'll see you on the other side here in KCNR 1460.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
It's reported vehicle collision repair technology is advancing faster than medicine. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Alan Gordon, CEO of Coachmaster, is doing his part to provide the North Valley with the latest technology. He has added another frame machine using ultrasound computer measuring. Ultrasound can measure the frame and produce a printed document to verify any damage before repair is started. When repair is completed, an after document is printed for verification. Finally, wheel alignment is by our 3D imaging system. It produces the most accurate wheel alignment and also verifies frame accuracy, providing additional confidence for the vehicle owner. Three lasers, ultrasound measuring, infrared, 3D imaging. This sounds like NASA, but no, it's the best equipped collision repair shop in the North Valley. Coachmaster Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
What better way to enjoy a Sunday brunch than with great music at View 202? Linda Bott, Bruce Kalin, and Bernie Baker are back on the veranda with all your jazz favorites served up in style. This Sunday from 11:30 to 2, treat yourself, invite family and friends, and savor good music, great food, and the best view in Reading. View 202 on Hempstead Drive. Call 226-8439 to make your reservation.
I love seeing her. I'm telling you, if you ever want to see the show of a lifetime, Lady Gaga's world tour, and she's going to be coming back probably in 2018 if you look it up in Portland. And you know what was really cool? You know, the show before the show, because bring out your freakazoid. You know, people didn't care. They just came out. But here's the cool thing: date night for a lot of people, like people our parents' age, were there. I mean, right over to the right was like the grandparents, the great-great-grandparents. And then, you know, then you had, like, the complete drag queens on steroids that were walking out there.
Everybody
and women on exhibition period time, you know, with their just, you know, fishnets up to their, you know. It was just fun as all get out. And she put on a tune. I mean, she was an hour and a half late, but she didn't get out. We didn't get out there until 11:30.
Great show.
Amazing. Lady Gaga. All right, welcome back to KCNR 14-6. You're probably like, what am I listening to? 1460 a.m. on your dial. That's right. It's Carl and Linda Bach. Carl will be here in a little bit. But with me this morning is one of my favorite people, Eric Woodstrom, who is the president of Five Star Bank in all the North State, North County.
Good morning.
North what?
North of Sacramento.
North
of downtown.
Good morning. Welcome back.
Okay.
And we have a special guest in the studio with us today, too. You may know him as the incredible harpsichordish. Five albums to his name, has done special Christmas specials, and in fact has actually performed up at Anselmo's too. But there's so many sides to this guy. Good morning, Garrett Vigors.
Hello, good morning.
There's that side of you as a musician.
Yes.
So then you build this little empire that's, we're watching that grow. Could you tell us a little bit about your entrepreneurial spirit and what you're doing now?
Yeah. So, which maybe is for another time, we could talk about why I didn't keep doing music, you know, full time. But, you know, got a wife and three kids. So very passionate about the arts and music. But about 4 or 5 years ago, I mean, actually, Alan Laird had Vintner's Wine Cellar.
Right.
So Alan and Jan are good friends. I played music in Vintner's, and that's how we met. We started making mobile apps together. And then we made the first year of Obamacare a native iPhone app to help people understand subsidies. And so that was kind of my jump into the health insurance to solve problems with creativity. And then we did a native iPad app. We launched Limelight Health in February of 2014. So, and we just closed a Series B now with $7 million, and we're about 64 employees. So we've, you know, come a long way, and we're really helping small employers now solve the problems of shopping for benefits and arming brokers and insurance carriers with our technology to help make good decisions with data. Do I go with Blue Cross? Do I go with Blue Shield? Right? Do I want a dental plan? And what is the cost for all of that? So it's come a long way, and that's kind of the high-level journey. So, yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's a big journey.
It is. There's a lot in between there to fill in the gaps.
Okay, so now were you involved with doing app work while you were doing music?
Great question. So as most musicians, right, we supplement income. And I actually worked for two consumer-driven health startup companies in town, in Reading, Veritas Health Systems and Innovius, which was, so a mentor of mine, an innovator mentor, Jim Phillips, really kind of mentored me in the insurance space. And then I became a broker to serve with just a few small groups in Reading. So I felt the pain of our users that use our platform today because they didn't have the solution. They lived in Excel. It was horrible. So I was supplementing income as a broker and while I was doing music. And then I saw that problem and wanted to solve it with technology, with native mobile app. And so that was kind of the path that happened. And I tend to jump off cliffs and figure it out while I'm flying through the air.
Right. Well, you compose.
Yeah.
So when you were composing, and probably still are always will compose, because once a musician, always a musician,
yep,
you're always probably thinking about songs.
Yeah.
Did you do that with your computer, or how did you compose?
So on the music side?
Yes.
Yeah. So with community of some songwriter friends. And I'm not, even though I have a technology company, right, I wouldn't consider myself a technology junkie. I fake it till I make it, and I'm, you know, you'd think that I'm probably more technologically inclined, but I'm really not. So, yeah, Ableton Live, I mean, I've had some tools that I use for that, but a lot of it was just with friends documenting, then I would bring in friends that actually had the technology. So, yeah, I'm not a huge, in the weeds producing, even though I've had the ability, of course, to work with co-producing friends and make a fair amount of albums.
I love that history, and I'm sure there's questions that you have, Eric, that are you know, bubbling up inside of you about, okay, I mean, because I know you, I know you in this life, but I know you from the whole, like, the musician part of your life, which, you know, just, again, you've had albums for sale at the Enjoy, you've toured, you're just really wonderfully talented. So then that just, I'm kind of in that world talking about the jump. I mean, in 5 years, I'm talking 5 years. Yeah. This is a big jump.
From a piece of paper to going.
Yeah.
Going strong.
And you came to announce today about this new, that you got a grant.
Your Series B funding.
Series B funding, yeah.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. $7 million is, in some circles, that's not a lot. In other circles, like Reading,
it's a big deal. It's meaningful.
Yeah.
Can you share with the layman what a Series B funding is?
Yeah. So we started with, you'd call it a seed investment or angel, right? So actually Shasta Angels is local. They were one of our angel investors back, you know, in February 14. And so you have your angel investment, which is the most risk because, you know, we don't really know what we're doing and we're faking a lot of it there. And then we had a series A, which is a little bit less risk, but it's still risky. And that was about a year and a half ago with AXA Strategic Ventures, who led that, and MassMutual, and Launchpad Digital Health, which we were in an incubator accelerator in San Francisco. So that was part of the Series A. Series B is your less risky, because as you progress, right, you go Series A, Series B, you could go to Series C. The goal is that we don't have to go to a C, because we're selling our product.
Right.
So we're self-funding by, you know, selling these big deals that are bringing in revenue. That's the goal. But in the health insurance space, it's a very complex space. The laws are changing across state lines. You have all this going on where we're not just making a widget and selling 6 billion widgets to everybody in the whole, you know, world.
Right. It's not a static industry at all. It's moving with what's going on, not only in the marketplace, but with what's going on policy-wise.
Correct.
And you had to keep up with this. Amazing. I know, as a buyer of health benefits and, you know, trying to work within our company, making good decisions for our employees, it's a constant challenge to keep up with what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the thing that makes you tick?
That's a good question. So, to kind of bridge the gap from the creative, the musical side, for me, the way that I've viewed the technology entrepreneurial life that I've been living this last 4 years is, number one, I want to help the end consumer. At the end of the day, I feel like
you had a vision of what you wanted to create, and what a problem you wanted to solve.
That's right. I mean, we had people the first year of Obamacare, right, covered California. You know, it's the first year is coming out. No one knew anything, and I had this native app that I put together to solve problems. And they said, "Well, I make this amount of money, and I have this household. Well, what's my subsidy?" All that confusion. So it started with a direct to consumer for individual insurance. We've pivoted, which is what you do in technology companies, to small group. We're focused on small group now, but they have all these problems. Employers can't afford it. They need to see their options, and they need technology to help them. So I'm wanting to help them have access to their options. So that, for me, makes me tick, that an employer, large employers, get access to all these options because they have massive employees with tons of premium. But a 10-life group, they don't get the technology, and we're putting it in the hands of brokers and insurance carriers to help them have access to the technology that a 1,000-life group does. So that's meaningful for me. The other side is the creative side. So I started as the chief product officer, and it was the product was my album. It was my song, and I would I'd get out in Photoshop or get out on my journal, and I'd write out screens, and I would just make stuff up, you know, because I'm trying to create a vision for what doesn't exist and make it real. And so it was a very creative process. That enabled me to continue that creative process that I had with music, now with a product. And it paid more actually too at this point. So
now see, that just vibrated with me, resonated with me, because, you know, I could see you when you were just explaining that, standing in front of large crowds that are, I mean, we're still, I don't know, I'm going to speak for myself, trying to catch up technologically wise, because things are happening at lightning speed all around you. And, you know, gosh, you know, I'm a country girl. So that resonated with me, where I could see that you're bringing it into layman's terms.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens if you want to do insurance for your 10 or 20 employees, but you don't know what to do, especially now.
Yeah.
I mean, where are we today? Tomorrow may be different. Mm-hmm. How do you stay in touch at lightning speed with what's happening with our insurance policies all over the place.
Yeah. So you stay in, I think brokers help employers, right?
But give us information.
That's right. So they give you all this information, but they don't have all the tools that they need.
Yeah, to line it up and
there's compliance. There's a lot. You kind of have to almost be like a tax accountant now. So there's a lot going on, but technology is enabling brokers to better serve employers for what do I pick my options, and then how do I enroll? That's the big differentiator for us in the market with Limelight, is we push all of our data to an enrollment platform so that you as an employee can enroll online. It's simple. It's like every other vertical of life is online. You click to enroll, and you live in paper world, and that's no bueno. It's not
no
working.
Our guest is Garrett Vickers. This is Linda Bott along with Eric Woodstrom. This portion of the show is brought to you by Home Helpers. In-home care service is more than an in-home healthcare agency. Where your extended family can't be there, well, locally owned, trusted provider of quality, compassionate in-home care, customized for you, care solutions. That's Home Helpers. Go catch them today at on Larkspur Lane, and give them a call at 226-8350. We're going to take a break. And by the way, the game tonight, we kick off live football here on KCNR 1460. Jared will be here at the helm. We've got some new live announcers. It's going to be great. Corning at Enterprise tonight. Check in at KCNR 1460 at 7:15. We'll be right back.
To play it right. You got to know when the whole know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
I'm here with Dr. Sam Carino of Shasta Spine Specialists. Doc, tell us about this new system, the DRX-9000.
The DRX-9000 is the only true non-surgical spinal decompression system. The DRX-9000 can effectively treat common and debilitating back pain, neck pain, stenosis, and sciatica.
We hear over and over about people just having or getting ready to have back surgery. Now, why is that?
Too many people are having back surgery when the technology for non-surgical disc repair is right here in Reading.
So when you compare back surgery to non-surgical decompression like the DRX-9000, what are some of the main differences?
Non-surgical spinal decompression is safer, more effective, more financially reasonable, and much less invasive, with no side effects or dependence on harmful prescription drugs.
Explore all options and potentially avoid a painful, long, expensive recovery with back surgery. See if the DRX-9000 is right for you. Call Dr. Sam Carino of Shasta Spine Specialists, 243-2300. You can also find them online at ShastaSpine.com.
You obviously really love washing your car. Your wheels always look like you just got your car detailed.
Oh, I hate washing my car. That's why I'm in the car wash club at Premier Oil Change. I can run my car through their state-of-the-art new car wash all month long for a fixed price.
Now that's out of my budget.
You'll be pleasantly surprised. It's very affordable. It starts at $22 a month, and it is fast. I get my car washed in under 5 minutes. They have free vacuums right next to the freeway. Easy in, easy out. I also like the oil change service. Having an infant and not having to get out of my car is a huge plus.
What a great service. Glad I asked. I'll check it out tomorrow.
Visit us in Palisadro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park. Both locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change and unlimited car wash.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Hey, Abby, I hear it's your birthday. Any special plans?
Yes, dinner at Nello's Place. Nello's has been a Reading landmark for over 30 years and is known for their delicious Italian food. And what makes it even better is that Nello's Place has partnered with Haven Humane Society this month for Second Tuesday Dining.
They have some of the most delicious Italian food in town.
Please join us on Tuesday, September 12th at Nello's Place from 5 to 9 p.m. They've been kind enough to donate a portion of the proceeds to help Haven Humane Society care for the abandoned and unwanted animals of the North State.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
Elton John. I would sing, but nobody wants to hear me sing. They want to hear you sing.
Eric Wittstrom, Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460. Welcome back to the show. And I wanted to remind you, speaking of Music Sunday, at View 202, come out and hear my jazz ensemble. It'll be fun. From 11:30 nice. To 11. No, actually, because of the heat, we're going from 11 to 1:30. Hmm. So, yeah, jazz on the veranda. And they have misters. So if you want to, you know, ladies, be careful under the misters. I don't care. I'll sing under the shower, you know. Anyway, that's this Sunday. We have a very interesting guest. And I tell you, if I could just have what goes on at the break. There was really some very important information that happened at the break. Do you want to try to bring up
sure.
what we talked about, the incubator in San Francisco?
Yeah, I asked him how he felt that experience benefited him, you know, and maybe a correlation to what we're trying to do here with the Venture Hub in
mm-hmm.
Shasta.
Yeah. So when we our first office in San Francisco was in an incubator, an accelerator, digital launchpad, digital health, and it focused on the vertical of health tech startups. So there's probably 20-plus companies that were in there. So you have that energy, right, which is really important to me, the energy, the culture, the atmosphere of dreamers and believers and executors. And so we had that, and we actually left that office after a year. It was a one-year program. And so you have access to a wealth of information, right? You've got legal access. You've got accounting. You've got marketing. And, you know, they'll say,
all the block and tackle stuff that
right.
you need.
And we're in one vertical with 20 others. So
sure.
it was really good because it was all that in one space, a lot of crossover. So then we moved out after a year of the program into our own, the Clock Tower, which is right by the Giants Park. And it was amazing. But we didn't have that energy. And so we went back into it. They moved right by Twitter now. And so we're on Mission Street. And we're back in with, you know, 10, 20 health tech startups. And it's just, I really like that. And it makes me feel that we have an opportunity. And again, the EDC, Shasta Venture Hub, is really where we have that today. And I'm really hungry for that to continue to grow in Reading.
You were talking about how you wanted to take the arts, the fashion, and bring your world here to Reading. And something about your son. You would care to share that story?
Sure. So, you know, hats
your
off.
Infamous son.
Yeah, my infamous son, Gabriel Justice Michael Viggers. So because I jumped off a cliff, this startup cliff, I figured why not, you know, throw my kids off the cliff, right? So Shasta Venture Hub, EDC, put on two Google Startup Weekends, which there's one coming up September 22nd to the 24th at Grant Elementary, 5th to 8th graders. So my son, Gabriel, and I are going to help coach. It's wonderful at Grant Elementary coming up in a few weeks. It's put on by Startup Weekend or Startup Reading. So two Google Startup Weekends. And 2 years ago, I told my son, you need to do this. And he started cutting up my shirts and making bow ties because he wanted a video game. My wife said, you need to get a job because you need to learn. We're not just going to buy you everything. And we can't because we don't have cash to just buy you whatever you want. And so he started cutting up my shirts. I didn't know about it. And then my shirts are gone. And he had bow ties. So I said, hey, buddy, you should go pitch at Google Startup and you should have a bow tie company. But I have a marketing mind, creative. Like, I want to think outside the box because I think the collision, again, of creativity and arts and entrepreneurship is what unlocks, I think, the real potential. And I said, but you need to get a jersey from LeBron James. And he said, I don't know LeBron. And I said, I don't either. But who cares? We'll figure it out.
Yep.
So he went and pitched. And I said, but if you ask LeBron for a jersey, he won't give it to you if you want to buy a video game. But if you say, I want to change the world, he will give you a jersey because LeBron wants to change the world too. And you're a little 12-year-old kid. And who can say no to a 12-year-old kid? So anyways, he went and pitched Friday night at the Venture Hub and said, my name's Gabriel. His name's Gabriel Justice. The name of the company is Justice Bose. My name is Gabriel Justice Michael Vigors. My company is Justice Bows, and I believe even something as small as a bow tie can change the world.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, it was like heavy. So everyone wanted to be on his team. It was cool, and he was like Toms, but, you know, Toms for shoes, but bow ties. And so we launched the business in a weekend, and I'm struggling because I'm so excited, and we actually got a commitment for a jersey from LeBron James. That was what freaked it out, because my brother had a domain from Chris Bosch, who started MrNiceTie.com, who played for the Miami Heat. So I, as the dad, went in and negotiated and like wanted to give the domain to them, and we got a commitment for a jersey. It never came through. It was really painful, but that's part of business. You get commitments, you got a sale,
highs,
and then it falls through.
A few lows. And
show business, baby.
That's right, exactly. So, but he's in school, so it's kind of been, we've slowed down, right? You can go to justicebows.com, and you can see we've got great bow ties. And we fired him from making them because he's 13, now 14, right? Because he's not that good at it. But he's the face. So, that was through our, the Shasta Venture Hub. And it was an amazing experience.
Yeah. So how did you get this idea to take dad's shirts and make bow ties? Where did that, where did that seed come from?
So my wife said, get a job. He went online. He started Googling. And it's, lemonade stands. And he thought, whatever, I'm not going to do a lemonade stand.
I'm not going to do that.
So he Googled.
I'm not going to throw papers. I'm not going to do a lemonade stand.
So he Googled, and it was a do-it-yourself bow tie. He just found it on YouTube, watched a video. And he didn't have fabric, didn't have money to buy fabric, and didn't tell anybody, and just started cutting up my like cool old flannel shirts that I don't fit in anymore, right? So it's okay.
Oh, that's a beautiful story.
It's wonderful.
So did the jersey come through?
It didn't.
It didn't come through.
Okay. Well, I heard you said it was probably with another jersey. We're not talking about the same one.
It was. We got a commitment for LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade.
Okay.
These three guys.
Okay.
But I believe it'll happen in the right timing.
I believe it will,
sure.
too.
We just need one.
It will.
I mean, we went after the Seahawks because my son loves the Seahawks. So Russell Wilson, we did a video, right, with, trying to. So I'm just busy, too.
Yeah.
It'll
happen.
It will.
Yeah.
There's a whole nonprofit side to it, too, which was, we partnered with Zed Bridges local here and took some uniforms of an orphanage in Calcutta, or not a school in Calcutta, and we cut up these bow ties to raise money. We're still, again, trying to get it off the ground, but it's really inspiring.
So here, do you guys play video games at night? Or is it, no, let's figure out what we're going to do to change the world?
So that's more me, but I've had to find a balance, right? Because playing a video game with your son can ultimately change the world, but from a P&L standpoint, for Justice Bows, like not today, but you got to connect with your kids.
It's still in that friends and family stage.
That's right.
This is so great. This is the real deal here. We're talking about the real deal what you do with your juice, how it inspires the little ones watching you.
Yeah,
but just the. Having young people be able to go through that process is inspiring for them. It's going to allow them to think out of the box when they move on, and it's just so important to continue to do that generationally to be fresh.
I agree.
Us all to develop.
So we're talking about Garrett Vigors and the name of your company. And so today you're here on the air to. Share your passion, but what would be like, what's the catchphrase? What's the one thing, if they're listening, would take away today?
So, I think the big story is kind of two, but I'll put it into one. Limelight Health, our company, we raised the Series B, $7 million, led by Mass Mutual Ventures, Access Strategic Ventures. So we're hiring, right? We're expanding, and we have tech jobs in Reading that we are hiring. High paying. We hire them in San Francisco. If we don't get the talent here, we got an office in San Francisco. We'll hire them there if they have the talent. If the talent's here, we're going to hire them here. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful opportunity for us to help bring technology jobs to Reading and continue to expand. And really, I want others, right? Other
like
technology.
The synergy to start happening.
Yeah, that's the big kind of the big story, right? Yep. We did an Action News Now a few weeks ago. Great story. And I would say to wrap around kind of for the downtown, right, of the culture of the arts and the economic vibrancy of technology and this expansion of us hiring is really would be my dream of the takeaway of the culture, which brings people here and creates good energy. And then also We've got business growing and this tech space, which is, again, we're 3 hours away from San Francisco. So you can go dip in your, you know, there and come back in
and
one
you
day.
Need to,
you do. And
but,
I do.
But you don't want to do it all the time.
That's right.
Yeah.
I like to get out.
Yep,
I like to
nice
go in. So that's kind of, you know.
Very exciting. So how do people find out more about your company, the fact that if they mm-hmm. would be able to get a job with you,
yeah.
or all of that stuff?
So you can go to limelighthealth.com. You can go there or you can Google it. We've got job postings on a number of different sites. But go to limelighthealth.com, contact us. And, you know, product, dev, QA, customer success. We have a fair amount of job openings, and we're continuing to grow the team as we sell big, giant new customers. We then just ramp up the team and scale up.
And is Alan your partner?
Alan Laird,
co-founder.
He's our CTO. He's so amazing. Alan and Janet the Cascades.
Just had lunch with Janet about all the good stuff happening for her.
Yes,
they're
amazing.
They are just flying.
Two co-founders in Reading, and then two co-founders in San Francisco. Jason Andrew, our CEO, who's amazing, and Michael Lujan, who's been our chief strategy officer, who's awesome. So we have two in each. It's really, really a good balance.
Growing, fantastic. Thank you for bringing that great energy here. We're going to take a break now,
okay.
And thank you so much for joining us this
you
morning
bet.
With
thank you, guys.
Limelight.com.
Limelight Health.
LimelightHealth.com. Make sure you put health behind Limelight.
Yes. Right?
Yes.
Okay, guys. We're going to be back. We have a very special guest coming up at 8 o'clock. This is Linda Bott and Eric Woodstrom. Carl's going to be here in a little bit, too, so we'll be right back.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
By those warm Gulf of Mexico waters, the storm is projected to become a major Category 3 storm, possibly the most powerful to hit the U.S. mainland in 12 years. Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen defending the web of regulations the Fed helped to enact after the financial crisis in her comments today in Wyoming.
Instead, Janet Yellen defended a raft of federal regulations passed in the wake of the 2008 financial meltdown. But for investors who were looking for any hints on what the Fed might do with interest rates, there was silence. Addressing the annual conference of central bankers in Jackson Hole, Yellen credited Dodd-Frank regulations with saving the banking system's health, and she signaled the Fed's willingness to make adjustments if needed. Yellen's comments are in response to critics, including the president, who would like to scrap those rules.
On Wall Street, the Dow up 45 points right now, the Nasdaq up by 3. Orders for long-lasting manufactured goods fell in July.
The Commerce Department says orders for durable goods last month reversed a sharp gain in such orders in June. Last month's figure was led by a drop in the volatile category of civilian aircraft. Meanwhile, a measure of future business investment advanced 0.4%. Excluding transportation, orders rose a solid 0.5% in July.
That's Jeremy House reporting. More from townhall.com.
Do you trust our economy? How about our banking system? Our president has stated we are sitting on a bubble right now, and that when the Fed raises interest rates, bad things are going to happen. Well, the Fed is raising rates here and now. There has never been a better time to turn your IRA or 401k into physical gold or silver with GSI Exchange. Call 833-GSI-GOLD. GSI Exchange can make this happen fast, and it's money you control, not the big banks. 833-GSI-GOLD. Ask about our Bank Failure Survival Guide and learn how your qualified IRA transfer can get you $1,500 in free physical gold or silver delivered right to your home. GSI Exchange has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call GSI Exchange at 833-GSI-GOLD. That's 833-474-4653. Or visit us on the web at gsi.gold. Call GSI Exchange at 833-GSI-GOLD.
President Trump had words of criticism once again for another GOP senator this morning. His correspondent, Sagar Magani.
Tennessee's Bob Corker recently questioned the president's competence and stability.
I think that's a ridiculous and outrageous claim and doesn't dignify a response from this podium.
That was Press Secretary Sarah Sanders yesterday. This morning, the president did fire back, tweeting Corker's statement is strange, given that the senator, quote, is constantly asking me whether or not he should run again in 8.
That is Sagar Magani reporting. Cities across the U.S. try to help homeless people find beds of their own. Atlanta is testing an approach next month that will close a city's shelter of last resort. a big downtown building where as many as 1,000 people come off the street with no questions asked. A new space about an hour's walk away is opening, and a coalition has a $50 million plan to support 500 chronically homeless individuals there. More at townhall.com. One of the president's top advisors says the White House must do better in condemning hate groups.
White House economic advisor Gary Cohn says he's under enormous pressure both to quit and remain in the White House after the president's comments on Charlottesville. But Cohn tells the Financial Times, "As a Jewish American, I will not allow neo-Nazis ranting, 'Jews will not replace us,' to cause this Jew to leave his job." Cohn says citizens standing up for equality and freedom can never be equated with white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and the KKK.
That is White House correspondent Greg Clugston reporting. President Trump plans to make a public push to overhaul the nation's new tax system next week. It'll happen in Springfield, Missouri. The White House says the president will be making the stop in southwest Missouri on Wednesday to begin selling his administration's calls for tax reform, both for businesses and individuals. More details on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
All right, welcome back to KCNR 1460, 8:05 on this Friday morning. 66 degrees. We stayed right there. It's going to be 100 today with our lows of 67. Eric Woodstrom, the president of Five Star Bank. Well, you know, you have a bigger title than that, and I've been stuck in the president. Right. What is now? There's something else above president. What is that?
Well, just the president of the Northern Division.
President of Northern. Yeah. So more than president of one bank.
We've got offices up in Northern California, in Chico, we're in Redding. And we have businesses, you know, we have customers all throughout Northern California, through the 101 corridor, you know, a lot of them here in town.
You guys are that, the Cheers of banking.
Yes, come on by.
Come on by, have a cup of coffee. I know that you're doing some major deals there behind that glass.
We are, but we kind of quietly do them, and, you know, we don't brag about our customers too much. If they want to brag, they're welcome to do that.
But not going to hear you bragging about it. Nope.
We just kind of keep it. That's
what I like.
We talk about that a lot.
Good poker face, buddy.
Yep, that our customers' business is between us. And so try and keep it that way.
So we have Barry Tippin with us this morning. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning.
But right now we're going to go to our Wells Fargo advisor, Susan Eastman. What's happening on Wall Street?
Good morning, everyone. Major averages are now mixed, as investors prepare for speeches from Fed Chair Janet Yellen and European Central Bank President Mario Draghi. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 40 points at 21,824. The S&P 500 is positive 7 points at 2,447. And the Nasdaq Composite is down 6 points at 6,265. Active stocks on the big board, Hewlett-Packard, or now HP Inc., up 6 cents at $19.47 per share. Freeport-McMoRan down 4 cents, trading at $15.45, and GameStop down $2.75 at $19.04. Turning to local stocks of interest, FedEx up $1.11, trading at $207.78, Walmart positive 36 cents at $78.71, and Costco up 39 cents at $151.72. In the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note is price yield 2.19%. And over to commodities, gold is up $5 an ounce at $12.91, silver up 15 cents at $17.20 per ounce, and crude oil up 32 cents, trading at $47 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Thank you, Susan. Hey, are you still on the line?
Yes.
Okay, when you played ball, when you played softball, can I ask you that now that we're off the clock?
Sure.
Okay, when you played softball, was it fast pitch or was it, what kind of ball was it?
It was a softball.
Softball.
And it was slow pitch.
Slow pitch.
And,
okay.
You know, they have to pitch with an arc.
With an arc. Okay.
So it was a co-ed team. It was really fun.
Okay. All right. So that's what we're talking about. We were talking about baseball before you started, so I didn't want to talk out of school.
Until I had to retire.
Yeah, well.
Things are good.
Things are good. All right. You know what? We love your athleticism. So, all right. Susan Eastman. Thanks so much.
Have
all right.
Bye.
She is our Wells Fargo advisor. We love that she does the retirement and all kinds of things about planning and all that good stuff. So anyway, welcome back to the show. This portion is also brought to you by Crackmaster Knows. It's in and out. It's a proper windshield repair. Has been repairing windshield for years. Crackmaster, we go to them. I mean, from, gosh, from a chip to a large crack, check out, go to Jeff at Crackmaster. They're located at 273. You'll see them. You'll see the shop on 273, and this guy is amazing. I have not had to replace my windshield several times when I've had cracks. Driving down 5, boom.
Boom.
And all of a sudden, there's this chip in my windshield. Well, he can repair it.
Go see Jeff.
Go see Jeff. All right, so let's get on with our special interview this morning with Barry Tippin. All right, you're sitting in the chair there.
Hot chair.
Well, I mean, in more ways than one.
Yeah.
How does it feel? What's been happening for you since you have now been put in charge of REU?
The city.
The city. Yeah. From REU to the city.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sorry.
There we go. That's
Can
right.
we correct yeah. that, please?
You caught all the stuff there, Linda.
You left that. You've gone from REU to be now the city manager.
Yeah, and of course, while I was REU, I was also the assistant city manager. So
yes.
I was around and able to see a lot what was going on and watch Mr. Starman and what he was dealing with. And so much of that is not a surprise. I'm pretty familiar with it. But, of course, you know, we're trying to change the tide in, you know, the quality of life. The community obviously is very interested in improving the quality of life and making sure that we're doing everything we can to do that. And we've had some increase in police patrols, and I'm very happy with what the police department has been doing, as well as the rest of staff within the city. And then we're trying to work really collaboratively with the county to make sure that we can hold those people accountable and get them through the criminal justice system.
Well, that's a big thing. You came the other night
yes.
when we were celebrity bartending, if you will, at the VFW. A lot of this stuff was just talked about while people were having beer.
Yeah.
What's happening with the city?
Yep.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of components to solving the crime problem. And one is, you know, the police department's role, but that's only one component. The other's getting them through the system, having consequences, and it is working together to get that done.
Absolutely. You know, the really a simplistic way to look at it is the city's enforcement
yes.
within the city limits, and then you have the district attorney whose prosecution, the courts, of course, who are sentencing, judgment, if you will, and then you have probation, which is implementing the programs to help prevent recidivism. And public defenders in there as well. And that whole system really needs to be working well together.
Has to work together.
And, you know, with all of us, we're struggling with this change from the state in terms of what's a misdemeanor, what's not a misdemeanor, you know, what's a violent crime, what's not a violent crime, what can you arrest people for and take them to jail, what you can't, and then obviously with our overcrowding in the jail. And so we're all trying to figure out the best way to move this community forward, and that's happening across California. But luckily, we have a really good relationship with the county, and we're working closely with them.
All right, we're going to take an early break. Carl just walked in the station, and I'm sure he's revved up, ready to go for this interview. So hold your seats, hold on to your phones, and chat packers. We're going to be taking your online questions as well. We'll be right back. Our guest is Barry Tippin here on KCNR 1460.
It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. A regular crowd shuffles in. There's an old man sitting next to me, making love to his tonic and gin.
What better way to enjoy a Sunday brunch than with great music at View 202? Linda Bott, Bruce Kalin, and Bernie Baker are back on the veranda with all your jazz favorites served up in style. This Sunday from 11:30 to 2, treat yourself, invite family and friends, and savor good music, great food, and the best view in Reading. View 202 on Hempstead Drive. Call 226-8439 to make your reservation.
There's a party going down at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Wind River.
Join us and Lagunitas Brewing for a night of circus-filled fun. Enjoy the thrills of a circus-themed comedy, juggling, and a variety performance by Jeremiah Johnston. Ice cold Lagunitas brews on draft and circus festivities throughout the night. Drawings, giveaways, special dinner and dessert menu. The circus is coming to town, and you don't want to miss it. Inside Elements Restaurant, Friday, August 25th from 7 to 10 p.m. Download the Wind River app on Google Play or the Apple Store. It's better at the river. Do you like to perform and show off your skills and vocals and sing your best? Then head down to Wind River Resort and Casino for karaoke rewards at Overtime Lounge. No cover charge. The action starts every Thursday at 9 p.m. with more ways to earn entries to win a package including a one-night hotel stay, dining certificate, free slot play, and cash. Drawing at the end of the month. Ask how to earn additional tickets. Karaoke rewards Thursdays at Wind River Resort and Casino. For rules and details, log on to WindRiver.com. Karaoke is better at the river.
The average adult has issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert. Like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit. It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well-versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Eric Woodstrom and Linda Botts over there. And, of course, we have our city manager, Barry Tippin, here with us. And the only reason I just totally paused is because I just took a first. I took a good look at Jared has shaved his beard, and I said, "Somebody's taken Jared, buddy. You are only in your 20s. Gosh. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome back. Hey, one of the things I want to tell before we get started back into this one, and is that tonight high school football starts, and KCNR 1460, of course, is broadcasting again. The game of the week all Corning, through the season.
Corning and Enterprise.
That's right. Did you already talk about this?
Just one time. We can say it again, though, but pregame starts at 7:15 and kickoff is at 7:30 at Enterprise.
There you go. We got a great broadcasting team coming out of Simpson University, the athletic director, and one of the other guys that's in their publicity or their media department and has done this a lot, and Connor Sutton is going to be on tonight. Tom Gilbreth will be on other games. So we've got some really, really good guys in there. Barry, the problems that we have with transients and homeless, and I don't know if you said it on the air, is within a mile of this station right here, frankly, if you drew a circle, downtown.
First, let me say, go Hornets.
Go Hornets.
So class of 82.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
okay.
You know.
All right.
So luckily they're not playing Shasta or Foothill or something like that, and so I can truly say go Hornets without getting in trouble with anybody.
I've got a tune-up tonight with Corning.
Yeah. Oh, no.
But I still have my Letterman's jacket hanging in my closet, the whole deal.
Do you really?
Heck yeah.
What sports did you play, buddy?
Football, baseball, and track.
You know, when they went down to the state championships, we followed them all the way down and announced that game down there. And because it was also on TV, you know, on some kind of weird channel, we looked at the team that the Enterprise was playing, you know, the Catholic school.
Right, yeah.
I mean, these guys had beards. I mean, these guys were like six. And you look at them in the stands, you're saying, well, guys, look at all the parents, and what are they going to have a pro? No, no, that was their team. And our guys just still played
they did.
Great.
They
played great against
them. Definitely showed that North State can play ball.
It can. Okay. But North State right now, up here in our area, and within like a mile radius.
Yeah, and of
right
course,
here.
That's just an anecdotal statement. You know, as I look at where our concentrations of problems are and that sort of thing, and you really can identify many services and places to be, you know, within a mile of downtown, whether it be services for homeless individuals, food, shelter, that sort of thing, whether it be the jail for those who are getting sideways with the law, whether it be the parks, the river to cool off.
Mental health.
Yeah, mental health. They're really all very close in proximity. And if you look at other cities, particularly bigger cities, that's not the case, and there's more disbursement. And so I think we have two things that we need to be concerned with. One is that, and the other is really getting back to meeting the expectations of the community. From my perspective, our law enforcement has always been stellar, and we have not allowed misbehavior, if you will, within our community, and that's been a really stalwart of Reading, and I think we've always been proud of that.
Law and order community.
Yeah, and so with the changes in state law, it's difficult to maintain that level of service. And while, you know, we're trying everything we can to get back to meeting our community expectations, it's going to be a challenge, and there's going to be a lot of work to get there.
The Pam, not Pam, but in the park, they stopped letting the curbside church.
Yeah, we didn't stop it, so that's a sort of a misnomer.
Well, I mean,
we said they need a permit.
They need a permit.
I thought they could not do it in the park,
correct.
Though.
Okay. So they need
All
a
right.
permit.
All right.
And with the permit, see, that grew. You know, they started with 10 people or whatever, trying to help 10 people. And they were serving 300 lunches,
right,
as I understand
right.
it. And that's anybody who's going to have an event of that size in the park needs a permit. And the permit means it's going to go through all departments. There's probably going to be sanitary requirements, outhouses. There's probably going to
be a number of conditions to the permit.
Security guards, that sort of thing. And so we just said, this has grown to the point where you need a permit, just like anybody else would need a permit. And then we did suggest that if they want to, we'll help them find another location because, you know, quite frankly, that's not what we have intended our parks to be used for. It's not disallowed. But if they wanted us to help them do that, that'd be fine. But really, it was just that they needed to get a permit like anybody else would.
Where's the number that says, I mean, there's other people have permits for things, but there's still the people bringing down sandwiches and things like that are still going on.
And we've gone through this with our Rotary. We've had a little fundraiser that grew, and I think the number that, at least, that we needed a permit was over 75.
I don't know exactly
something,
the number.
There's a number somewhere
there's a number in
there.
It has to do with that plus what you're doing. So, for instance, if you had a smaller group but you wanted a real loud rock band and you want to use the stage and that sort of stuff.
Might
so there's some there's a little bit of ability to use common sense, but there are some thresholds as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so insurance actually is a requirement when you get to that size.
Well, and that only seems fair.
Yeah.
If other people have to do it, everybody should have to do
Correct.
It. Other places, though, that are handing out food and maybe to smaller crowds, they're not going to need the permits.
That's then. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's fair. But one of the people came in, and in fact, it was Donnie Chamberlain. I don't know if you read her article about Reading the new normal, and it's not acceptable. One of the things she said was a way of trying to bring in the groups that are going to help the homeless. Homeless or those, put them under one roof. Has there been any talk about that?
Well, the Continuum of Care, of course, is an organization of many entities that provide services, and there's always discussion about trying to be better at coordinating those services. And you know, it's something that I think would be important. I think it would be beneficial, personally. But there's also, the liberty for those people to do what they want to do. You know, mm-hmm. So whether or not you want to do a heavy-handed government requirement that says if you're going to give services, then you have to do it in this way. So it's
kind of a balance.
Yeah, and it's
and they are different organizations. Some of them are private. Some are nonprofits. Some are for profits.
Some are faith based. They
some
have
are
different
faith-based.
Different faith based congregations that want to do things a little differently. So it's a very complex system when you're looking at trying to help people and provide services. It's not as simple as most think.
Okay. Well, I know it's never as simple as, but it also
awesome
is.
It was.
Wouldn't it be nice? But we also are at that point where it has such an impact on our community.
Yeah.
And you've started now. We had the sweep that one day. Mm-hmm. Two completely different sides of thought. One group says, "Oh, it didn't do any good." The other group says, "Did a lot of good." You know, it's kind of, you know, serving notice that you can't just continue to do this.
Yeah, and I think that's with you really have to think about what we were attempting to do. We were not attempting to criminalize homelessness. Homelessness is not a crime, and that's really important. And I think Dean Germano was trying to bring out that point, that what we were doing was not fixing the homeless problem. He's correct. That wasn't what we were trying to do. What we were trying to do is send a message to everybody, the community and the people who are committing crimes, that's not okay. And if you're going to commit a crime, you're going to be held accountable, even if it just is an arrest and you're going to get pulled off to jail, even if you're released. The issue is our community will not allow that to happen, and we're going to do everything we can with the resources we have to make sure people are held accountable for criminal acts. And that's all we were doing. And if you're a homeless person, that's fine. But that doesn't mean you get to commit crimes. Pretty simple in my mind in that regard.
I think it's pretty simple in everybody's mind on that.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's just, you know, so many things that's happened. What's the, you've got the people that you had to come in and assist you.
So you had the Citizens Committee come together.
Right.
They worked with you. The City Council had set high-level goals, collaborative with you, and then you had the Citizens Committee helped you set the 6th and 12-month achievable aspects of it.
Yeah, and that was a great process. The City Council identified five topics. Economic development, communication transparency, public safety, budget, and
transparency.
It was government of the 21st century.
Right.
So they established these wide parameters. And so the way we did that process is because I didn't want to take up everybody's time, and I wanted to make sure that provided straw proposals. And so I developed goals and objectives for each of those topics and then presented them to the group. And then the group was able to then, you know, launch off of that and help create, you know, new ideas, or they did a lot of wordsmithing, saying, you know, that sounds too much like a government guy wrote that, which is fair, right? Let's make sure it's something that people will understand our intent.
Yeah.
And so recrafting the language so it made more sense to everybody. And we talked a lot about objective measurables and subjective and how to deal with those. And so it was a great opportunity for me to get to know some folks. I didn't know a lot of – there's been some criticism about it was the same old folks. I disagree.
I found one guy off the internet.
He probably wouldn't mind if I mentioned his name, but it's Michael Duffy. He's a local contract electrician. And he actually he was commenting back and forth with folks on my Facebook page. And I liked the way he thought, and I liked the way he approached things. And so I sent him a message and said, "Hey, would you like to
be a part of the
be a part of this?"
Well,
and he was great.
Now, looking at the group, and I know, like I mentioned to you off when we were out there, I know a number of them, and I think they just felt that, you know, that we all recognize it's a new way to do business, and I think that, you know, but it's bringing in ideas. And it's not the same group. It's a different group. It's young, old, in between, different industries, and bringing them to the table and say, "Help me."
Yeah, my perspective on resident and community involvement is that you don't just switch. You don't say, "Oh, here's the people I've been doing all the time. Let's just throw those people away." And that's just would be foolhardy in my way of thinking. Those people have so much still to offer, and they have so much ability to mentor those who want to become involved. And so really the best is when you can meld those groups together.
They have a body of history, and then
they
can share.
Well, and then you're growing that.
Yeah. Well, it's a tradition. You know, you can almost say it's like you're passing in the Marine Corps. We do this thing from the oldest Marine passes the sword to the youngest Marine. And it's the same kind of thing as you've got people been in this business and know what's going on and have got that. So, but it's time to pass it down, you know, to start passing this around to other people who also have great ideas. And I can tell you right now, Lori Goyne, Doug McConnell, some of the others you had, Duffy. I mean, those are people nobody's heard of before, but are just leaders in our community.
I had to defend Doug a little bit because they're saying, oh, great, another McConnell Foundation. I go, no.
Oh,
no,
have him tell you the story. He's down in Eternal Bay, and they're going, well, what's your name? Doug McConnell. Oh, here, just come on in. He doesn't fight it then. He doesn't fight it when he gets some good seats.
Yeah, so, yeah. Doug McConnell is not part of the McConnell
Foundation. That's right.
He's excellent heart surgeon.
He is. In fact,
he's a great guy.
He's the first person you want to see at a dinner party and the last person you want to see any other time.
Yeah.
Okay. Or maybe the first person then, too.
Yeah.
Hey, well, we're here with Barry Tippin, Reading City Manager. Been there for all of?
About, I don't know, 2 months, something like that. June 6th or something like that. Yeah.
It seems longer.
Yeah.
It probably does for you, too.
It does.
Hey, we come back. I want to talk about unfunded liabilities.
Sure.
Okay. And we'll be right back after these messages.
I want you to want me.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all, but not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit them on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Golf, great food, and a great event all come together on September 18th for the Riverfront Playhouse Golf Tournament at the Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Enjoy 18 holes of golf, and your tax-deductible donation will help to open the doors of the new Riverfront Playhouse in downtown Reading.
The tournament includes lunch and an awards banquet immediately following golf.
For more information, call 524-0223 or register online at riverfrontplayhouse.net.
Sponsored in part by Reading Rancheria, Foothill Distributing, Custom Imprints, and Riggs Media Consulting.
Hey, Carl, let's find a new place to eat. Do you have any suggestions?
Have you tried the Cedar Tree Restaurant in Palo Cedro?
No, I haven't yet. What's it like?
Hey, it's great. Locally owned and operated. The owner, Susan, does a superb job. Food's outstanding, and the entire dining experience is well worth that short trip to Palo Cedro.
Okay, what are their hours?
7:30 to 2, Saturday through Tuesday. 7:30 to 8, Wednesday through Friday. You won't be sorry that you went out there.
All right, let's go.
I woke up this morning with the sun down.
I woke up with the sun shining in my face. First time in a long time. Welcome back, everybody, to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. with Carl Bott. And today I have Eric Wittstrom, who's president of the Northern Division of Five Star Bank, with
good
us.
Good morning.
And Linda, you know, she was doing the heavy lifting this morning. Good morning, everybody. It's 28 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock. We've only got Barry Tippin, our guest, for another 20 minutes because he's got a meeting down town that he has to make it to. And so I'm sure the phone calls are going to start coming in. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, the only place where I get a haircut. Man's Last Stronghold, discounts for seniors and veterans, and it's a veteran-owned business. Barry, when we came back, and you've been in the job for 2 months.
Right.
It seems longer for some reason.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because there's a lot of things going on. Barry, the unfunded liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
This week we've had Adam McElvain was on saying we have to come up with $25 million, and I've got some. I've got a piece of paper here that kind of floated across my desk for the amortization schedule. Just for the 18 is going to be $8 million, $8.5 million. 19, $10 million, and that goes on for a couple of years, almost 11, and then in 21, $12 million. And this is just part of it. This isn't the CalPERS. This is the current amortization schedule, but it says it's not doesn't include CalPERS in there. Is that means we're going to be having to pay almost much more than just our $8 or $10 million a year?
Yeah. So, well, I'm going to do a little government ease on you
okay.
to start with,
well,
and then we'll break it down a little differently. So, every year there's an actuarial analysis that's done, and that actuarial analysis takes into account who we have working for us, whether they're a 2% at 55 employee, or a 2% at 62 employee, or a 3% at 50, and so on and so forth. And then they run those numbers. They also look at whether there's been any raises. They look at what our number of employees are, and they recalculate what that actuarial liability, you know, unfunded liability will be. So, for instance, going into this budget year, we had assumed a number of X. Because of some beneficial things, that number is actually lower. So as you look at those amortization schedules, they're going to fluctuate. They're going to be up and down. And so when we look out in the five-year window and we talk about, you know, a $25 to $28 million deficit, that's cumulative debt. So that's not, you know, in every year. So that's cumulative debt over that five-year period of time. And then after that, revenues catch up, expenses level, and we're fine. And so really what we're really focused on is in the next 5 to 6 years making sure that we have enough savings, that there's some increased revenues, that we cumulatively as a city and as a community make sure that we've got enough money to solve that problem. And then it levels out and we're sort of back to normal. That unfunded liability will be out there for a while, but it's because of the way CalPERS is ramping up the charges in the 5 years starting next July. And so it's not an ongoing structural deficit. It's really the 6 years that we have that we got to correct.
A gap.
Yeah, because they're ramping up the expenditures
right.
way in excess of what our normal revenues would mm-hmm. increase.
But that still means that we're on the hook for that.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Okay,
yeah.
So when we so if the hook says $8.5 million for next year and then $10 million the year after that,
yeah,
that's what we're paying.
But it goes up significantly.
But that's not the total what we owe, is it? Is that? I mean, isn't there more?
No, there's more unfunded. The total unfunded liability, and I don't have the number off the tip of my fingertips for you know, the PERS liability, but it's in the hundreds of millions.
Right. So this, when we say this is a current amortization schedule, and if it says $8.5 million, it's really maybe $15 million then, right?
Yeah, the total cost that we pay
each year.
Yeah, and so the way I look at it, and I think the way it's, you know, most easily explained is that we have this ramp up like I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you know, hopefully it stabilizes, right? Hopefully PERS has made the right assumptions and they can stabilize some of those charges. That becomes more like your mortgage. You know, it's out there a ways and you're gonna be paying it off,
pay
and you budget
time.
For it every year,
yeah.
And you pay it over time and you get it paid off. Which is where we were until last December when PERS changed the rules. And when they changed the rules, that caused this very large
budget issue. They sent a bill and said, here's a catch-up.
We have, and quite frankly, they should do it.
Yep,
that was the adjustable rate mortgage we got hit with.
Yeah,
right?
I used to explain it that way a lot.
Yeah, adjustable rate, so they just changed the interest rate on us,
yes.
But it really blew up now.
Yep.
But if they...
they could change it again.
They could change it again because there a lot of people say is that they're that the amount of money that 7.5% they said they were going to get every year
7%
or 7% was very was not really reasonable.
Yeah, although they got 11.2% this last year. Yeah. So
and they have a structured process to do it. It's it's not just something that they pull out of the hat. They've got a process. They look back in time and look at it and give us adjustments. Yeah.
But you're right. A change from 7% to 6.5% is on my mind. Yeah.
Right.
It's a big deal.
And that is a big deal. And see, and there's the part is, are we prepared as our city to, if they drop it to 6?
So I don't foresee that, but the 6.5. See, prepared, I'm mentally prepared, yes. What we would do to accomplish that, I don't know right now. We're focused on the 7% and the ramp up. We're focused on what we know today and what has been approved and has been put before us.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, however, that we're ready. If it happens, we'll deal with it.
Okay. What about in last time? This thing I'll ask on this for the funny thing, the pilot program.
Still waiting for the Supreme Court to announce it. Yeah.
What do we do if? I mean, they already. I mean. It was appealed by the city because the...
First it was appealed by Friends of the Ratepayers or whatever, that Walt McNeil's group.
Uh-huh.
We won in Superior Court, so people seem to forget that.
Okay.
And then there was an appeal. They won at the appellate court on a 2-1, and there was a dissenting ruling. And then the Supreme Court has that.
Has it right now.
Correct.
Okay, so we've got to wait for that.
Correct.
But that could also be a hit.
That would be $6 million a year to the general fund. That's $6 million to police and fire and other general fund departments.
Everybody. Cuts it across.
Yeah, parks, recreation.
Across the board.
Yeah. Yep.
Well.
a lot of interesting things. But that's something also that, we talk about what this community wants and what the community needs.
Yeah.
So what I'm not going to say I'm not worried about that, but it really is going to rest in the hands of the community. So if, in fact, we lose that pilot and there's going to be a $6 million diversion from the general fund, which is going to drastically affect our public safety opportunities, we can go to the vote of the people, and we can just say, do you want to continue what we've been doing since 1921 and maintain that level of service or not?
Yeah.
And
here's
it's about a cup of coffee.
Which is what brought all this up to begin with, your time.
Proposition 26 was passed in 2010, which in our opinion shouldn't be retroactive. Others think differently. But the voters can then say, no, Vente, non-caf, decaf, sugar spice drink per month is worth 20 police officers. That would be their choice at that time.
And that's essentially is what it is.
That's correct.
The latest that's come across the board here is the recall. Thoughts on the recall?
No, because I'm restricted by law.
Okay.
Yeah, which is appropriate. Right.
Which is appropriate.
Can't take
sides.
Election code says that I must remain apolitical on all things.
Okay. We had this really great, a great project with Mercy and Dignity.
Yeah.
Just got put on hold. What's happening there?
Well, we received a letter from a group that calls themselves Friends of the River or something like that, but it's a consortium of labor unions, as I understand it. That put out some environmental concerns, and so we are backing up a bit to address those concerns, and hopefully we'll be able to do that and bring it back to the Planning Commission. What their motivation is your guess as good as mine. I have my opinions that I'll keep to myself.
I think we all have our own opinions, but it was a disappointing, as somebody in the community that likes to see our community grow and succeed, this was a disappointing move again by kind of a group that seems that over time they consistently do this. It's disappointing.
And there's work to be had there.
And if they truly had an issue with the project, there was so many opportunities along the way to provide input, and they didn't. So the process and the timing was, in my opinion, very disappointing.
Very interesting, as you might say.
I suspect it's strategic.
Yes.
I imagine it is. We're here with Barry Tippin. Do we have somebody calling? I just ignored it. Okay, we're okay then. I don't try to ignore phone calls. A lot of comments in here. You know, one of them is we can't be short-sighted. So I know you did your 6-month plan and a 12-month plan. Do we actually have like a 5-year plan?
So my thoughts are this: if you go through and actually look in detail at the goals and objectives, you'll see that many of those are going to be long-term efforts. You know, collaboration issues, mm-hmm. economic development focus, streamlining government always and whenever we can accomplish that. We're talking about government of the 21st century and putting together a panel that will be a rotating panel, probably Brown Act, that will help us, you know, deal with what the future might bring, whether it's technology, workforce, you know, all of those things are going to be well beyond 12 months. So many of those goals and objectives are setting a platform, establishing a role and responsibility for the city and leveling out expectations of staff for years to come. The other side of the coin is my plan for the next budget cycle, for instance, is to really sort of reverse the process and start with the city council in a more of a strategic focus and have the council look at the city and where we want to go from a strategic perspective and then build the budget from there, sort of zero-sum game on up to what each department may need to accomplish those strategic goals and objectives. So that in itself is going to be a fairly robust exercise and will hopefully more clearly define, you know, where the city's headed from the council's perspective, because that's really where it belongs, right, in terms of the strategic direction needs to be established by those who are elected by the people of this community.
How refreshing would that be?
We'll help them, of course. You know, we have all sorts of ideas.
We'll give them good ideas.
Yeah, we'll give them great ideas.
We won't ask this question. I'm going to give you a break before, you know, but I'm going to ask the question first, then we'll take a break.
Okay.
Wild Card Brewery. Success story.
Yeah.
I would say everybody would agree that it's a success story. You know, they've opened their place down here on Pine, and it's on Pine Street. They say it's on some other street, but it's on Pine Street. It's right next to the Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, it is. Ask Jake Mangus. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, Jake Mangus. Well, at least the two questions. One is the parking meters in front of all the businesses, and two is it cost them $20,000 plus for a permit. They just opened one up in Berkeley or down in Oakland. Down there, the second one, $5,000. We need to talk about fees and permits in the city.
Yeah, and I'd be happy to distinguish between the two.
Okay, right after we get back.
After we inspected the vehicle with a driving problem, I called the insurance company, Don Steck, for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The insurance adjuster seemed skeptical because the vehicle had recently been repaired, so I invited him to inspect it. The first area was only 1/8 inch off, as was the second. He said, "I don't see a problem. Each area is within tolerance." "Tolerance is accumulative," I said. "This car is 1/4 inch short on one side, and that will amplify over the length of the car. When measured the full length, the wheels will not align. Accumulative damage is often not understood." He said he would check with the shop to do the repair. He called later and said, "They are frustrated. because no matter how perfect they make it, Coachmaster can always make it better. I replied, if we can make it better, it was not perfect. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Your future career awaits at Shasta College, and now it's all about more. More classes so you can graduate faster, more flexibility to work around your busy life schedule, and more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. You told us what you needed, and we listened, giving you new self-paced math classes, transfer classes for the university-bound student, and more online offerings to help you achieve your academic goals. Fall enrollment is going on right now for both new and returning students, and we've made it easier than ever for you to register. Simply call 242-7650, and one of our skilled admissions officers will help register you and direct you to the next step to achieving your goal. And that's
welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Lindebaugh. Linda's in here, but I've got Eric Wittstrom riding shotgun here, president of Northern Vision of Five Star Bank.
Good morning.
Good morning. We have our city manager. And by the way, let me just say this. Barry Tiffin. Barry says, if I'm not in a meeting at that time and you call me, I'll come on down. And you always have.
Yep.
So, and I think people need to appreciate that you're willing to, you know, if you have a question, he's going to answer it. You may not like the answer. That's okay. He's going to answer it. We talked about fees and permits. I think for the wild card when you're over there, it was a permit. I'm not sure.
Well, just to distinguish. So when somebody comes out and they get a building permit, the cost that they're paying has two basic components. For the building permit. One is the impact fees, and the other is the plan check fees. Check fees are pretty low in comparison to many cities around. It's the impact fees that people most often talk about, and those are higher to the tune of, for a single-family residence, $6,000 for sewer, $6,000 for water, so on and so forth. And the way to think about those is you have new houses and new businesses coming online. They're going to use the system that's already been built and already been paid for by current ratepayers. And so the idea is, and this is across California, is that that new person that comes in has to pay for increases in capacity, and they should be paying for that themselves. We shouldn't pass that on to the balance of the people who pay for those rates because they're not causing the capacity issues. And that's the case for traffic as well. So the question you have to ask yourself always when you're going through this is, for new development, how much of that increased capacity requirement should be funded and paid for by the people who are going to build that project, and how much should be paid for the rest of the community? That's always the question you're asking yourself. And so right now there's a advisory group working with the Public Works Director reviewing all of our impact fees, and they're asking those very questions, and they'll be bringing that back to the council this fall. With recommendations on what that answer should be.
Well, I can understand if you're putting a new subdivision in, and I'm not sure if the amounts are fair, but I understand about that. But if you put a business that's similar to the last business that was there in, why do we have to go back and do the traffic studies and all these other things if it's on the same street in the same parking lot and it's already been done at least six times?
Sometimes you don't. If it's the same usage and it's within the same zoning, and then you don't have those fees. It's when you're making changes in the usage, when you're moving from an office to a restaurant, for instance, where your usage is going to be much higher and you have a much higher demand on the system. And so all those can be discussed and worked through with the building department as to what that level should be. And so the other thing that gets in our way is this tricky little thing called the law. And so you have a Mitigation Fee Act that the state of California has, and it says that you can't favor any one business over another. So if you have a new business that's going to come up on Victor Avenue, for instance, and it's in the same vein as a business that might come in downtown, you have to treat them similarly. Otherwise, your impact fee is illegal. So there are those sort of parameters that are required as well.
I never heard of that one before.
Yeah.
So if you've got to open up something that would add more traffic to an area,
yeah,
and the same kind of business is going to have no impact on your traffic because it's, you know, it's a very trafficked area, you guys still charge them as much as the other ones?
Well, and there's always the ability to do engineering, additional engineering, to demonstrate that your impact is not going to be what is, you know, sort of the standards that we use. So you have that option as well. You can say, no, I'm going to pay for some engineering studies and demonstrate that I have less impact, therefore I have less fees. And that's an option as well for developers.
Okay. And I have heard that people have gone in and asked for changes, and it's happened.
Yeah, yeah. So. And so, again, the advisor group is a group of development-minded people as well as others that are working with the Public Works Director and asking these very key questions. What should our impact fees be, and how do they relate, and how much should the increases of capacity need to be paid for by the rest of the community?
Last thoughts before you have to run out of here?
I'm just happy to be where I'm at. I think that we've got a lot of challenges, a lot of work to do, but I'm really confident in our staff and our ability to get it done. You know, I think the council has made really good choices, and that we're really on a cusp of, you know, getting to where we need to be. Now, that may take a while, but I think we've got the right momentum.
We feel like that down here on a lot of things. New police chief, close?
Yeah, we're running through the process, and hopefully we're close. But, you know, we'll know in the next few days, I would hope. But we'll
local guy or new guy?
Can't say.
Yeah, I thought I might catch you on that one. How about if I just throw out names? And we'll just watch your face.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot for being here today, Barry.
Yeah,
and you know what? It's you know, people laugh at Trump, but Trump said, he says, you know, things look a lot different when you're sitting behind the Oval Desk.
Which means the president is what he said.
That's right.
I.e. the president.
The president.
Because I wasn't sure what he was talking about.
I know he's talking about it. When he said, and they asked him a question, he said, well, things look a little bit different out here now, which is essentially what you said.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a different perspective, and you feel the weight differently.
All right. Okay. Thanks a lot, buddy. I know you have to run out of here.
All right. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Eric. We're still on the air. We're still on the air.
All right.
Okay, so
all
in case
right,
anybody
thanks,
says anything nasty. Okay.
No, not at all.
No. Eric, when you hear these, what do you think? I mean, you are one of the leading businesses here in town.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the we can see change. And I think we need change. We constantly need change. And at the city level, kind of at all levels, that it's good to have new leadership and change, and I think we're seeing, you know, a lot of positive things coming out of it. I read the 6 and 12 month goals and the tasks to accomplish them, and there's a ton of them. And like Barry said, you know, there's a lot of them that will just get started in that 6 to 12 months time, but we're going to get started and we're going to work down a path. And I think there's a lot of good energy towards, you know, making improvement in a lot of different areas in our city. I think that's positive.
Yeah, I think there is. And we always think, like, we're right down here. We're at ground zero.
Right.
Here.
No, and I don't know if you listened earlier, but Linda and I had a really good conversation about downtown.
Yeah.
And the energy there, too. And, you know, there's a lot of good things going on. We still have, you know, problems. We always have and always will have problems that I think there's a lot of very positive energy both in the private and the public sector.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, what's one of the things you look at is, you know, the amount of time and energy in your business. And, you know, sometimes, and we did this, you get a little complacent because everything's running along real smooth. And, you know, you guys, I walk out of here at 9:30 in the morning sometimes. And then things change, and they change dramatically, and not necessarily economically, but in personnel, and then you think about, you know what, well, we've been like this, we need to move forward, and we need to jump forward by doing a number of things. So you kind of got to ramp up again, and we've done that one too. Linda's set my hair on fire 3 times this week.
This week.
This week.
Wow.
We've had a very busy week. You know, we had Okay. We had a comment in the chat pack, which is kind of interesting. I mean, it's a little, it's about those stupid speeding tickets. Now, I don't understand this, but this is from eBay Shopper. After getting a ticket for driving 25 in a school zone, I try to shop for taxable items on eBay or in Anderson. Instead of buying four new tires and having a front end alignment at Les Schwab in Reading, I took my business to Les Schwab in Anderson. Proceeds to say, my 229 ticket reduced to 179 has cost the city of Reading over $2,000. The city manager should monitor traffic court while where citizens learn to shop anywhere they can to avoid paying sales tax to Reading.
eBay Shopper's been on before, and he's been unhappy because he got that ticket, so he shops everywhere else.
Your sales tax is higher in Anderson.
Yeah, but he doesn't come to Reading. I don't think
it doesn't
care.
No, it doesn't.
Now, you know, if you want to talk about something that's huge, what about the idea that, that people that have big businesses here in town or things that people can buy, they don't buy in California because they can buy it online from another state and they don't pay state tax. So immediately they save 10% on a big ticket item. Should we be able to tax all of the internet? What do you think?
That's a really good question. There's a lot of
There's
a lot of arguments both ways on that. You know, personally, I'd like to see the sales tax stay here, be here, and stay here.
Yeah.
And you live it, we live it. You know, buy local. We try to do that as much
we
as we can. Because we want to support growth in this community.
Yeah. Yeah. So. So the people and this gentleman was telling me, he says they'll come in, they'll look at all of our stuff, you know, we'll help them with it, and then they'll go online and it's on the big ticket
I hear it often.
Yeah, I know.
I hear, you know, from the
well, Eric, we always appreciate you coming
lot,
in and
no,
and head of the five star banks and out of Chico and Reading, and so do you have closing thoughts about you see business people constantly. People have dreams. You help dreams come true by helping to fund people. But what are you seeing, and how would you like to close your thoughts on this Friday?
Well, you know, and I've mentioned this often. Us bankers, we're not really risk takers. We like to live through our customers and watch their dreams evolve. And, you know, we kind of get excited about watching other people be successful and helping them along the way, providing loans and sometimes it's just having a good discussion on things, we've talked about it a couple times this morning. I just see that there's kind of a renewed energy in our community and in the economic development. There's some new faces. There's the next generation that's coming.
Standing up.
Yeah, and knocking down dominoes not really worried about, you know, what we used to do, looking more at what we're going to do. And I think there's a lot of exciting things going on.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, Eric, for coming
along. My pleasure.
And thank you, Hunt, for doing the heavy lifting this morning while I was running around like crazy. And everybody, look, you have a great, great, great weekend. Brent Weaver's going to be with us on Monday, the mayor.